What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about Two Loss Distribution. They are one of the most technologically advanced distributors in music. They distribute to more stores than any of the distributors around. They distribute, they give you 100% of your royalties. They only charge you $3 a month, and you have an instant option to get an advance from these guys. So if you're watching this and you want to be in the music business and you're trying to figure out how to get help, I'm here to tell you, go to twoloss.com and use the word GODS as your coupon code, and you get the first 3 months free.
Hi, guys. I'm Ray's friend, Ty.
It's the Kiff Guard from Queens, Jack Dance.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And this is The God Show. Let's go. And before we get started, like, share, subscribe. Do all the things that help us keep this thing going. Because without you, there's no reason to do this, right? But now that we got that out the way, we got a legend on the couch. I remember going to summer camp, playing their records. I remember the dances Apaquan used to do. I remember his name was Apaquan. He's at a Brand Nubian dance. Let's give it up for Lord Jamal. Let's go. From Brand Nubian, but y'all already knew that. Ty, yes. Let's get into it. What would you like to ask? Hold on, before I get into it, let me tell everybody who Ty is. I'm going to just intro, because I want to give you a proper intro. Ty's been a friend of mine for well over 15 years. She's been the only journalistic friend I've had around. She was a journalist hanging around street niggas. And we ran into each other in...
Was I?
Yeah, you was, to me.
Oh.
You wasn't hanging with journalists. You was hanging with us.
Yeah.
It's my Haitian sister, but we used to be... I ran into her in L.A. at the museum,
yeah,
the Nas Museum. And I kind of was looking like, man, I wonder if she would... like join me, and she says, "When you gonna have me?" I'm like, "Nigga, let's get it going." Like, she's an actual journalist. She's an actual journalist. That's what I like about it.
One, two.
Let's go. Talk your shit.
Might be a little bit of a, at least in Atlanta, rap podcast pioneer. Shout out to ABL Radio. Mm. I had a show on there 3 years. I was playlisting before y'all knew what a playlist was. Mm. You know what I mean? I fact check things. I've beaten the Associated Press on the story, but you know, and I could do it in multiple languages.
How
did
you beat the Associated Press on the story?
Well, I know how to research a news story.
And by the way,
the quick story.
Tell us.
All right, so when Lil Wayne got arrested, and this is gonna sound like some real crazy shit to street people, but fuck it, I'm not a street person.
You just hung around him.
I'm a journalist, and I'm an immigrant, so I'm not getting me deported today. So when Lil Wayne got arrested in Arizona, I had been trained by the legendary Grouchy Greg at All Hip Hop.
Shout out to Grouchy Greg and Chuck Creek.
And shout out to Chuck. Chuck gave me my nickname, St. Boogie. Yeah. So, you know, that's my OG. So we called. I just called the precinct that arrested Wayne. And that lady was so excited to find out that she had a rap celebrity in her thing. They gave me all the details. I knew his Cody's names.
Oh, wow.
I knew what they found in the truck. On the bus. I knew what everybody's bail was. And so my story was filed at the same time that the, I think it was the DEA, when they actually sent out their press release, my story was already written. So I beat everybody on that shit.
And Lord Jamal, that's why I wanted her to do this interview with you. Because I wanted to have someone who had some kind of journalistic integrity to them.
You know, now she's scaring me. She might have.
He's scared. No, but she cool as hell. But
private investigation on.
She might know all our no, prizes.
Todd knows like it all. So Todd, let's lead. Let's go. It's on you now. You can ask questions, sister.
So, Lord Jamar.
Peace. First of all,
let's give the youngins, because you know we're not old, but I had to tell somebody yesterday that LL Cool J was a rapper before he was an actor.
Oh,
that really didn't know. And you know, it's all good.
Shut up.
She didn't know. She's 22.
Nah, that's
I
real.
Mean, she should know.
I mean, I knew Ronald Reagan was an actor
before he was a president.
Go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
When he was president, I don't know. But look, the kids are not going to learn unless we teach them, right? So right. Let's give, like, for the people who don't know, what is the elevator pitch version of your history in this game as both a rapper and an actor?
Basically came into the game around 89, 90 with a group, Brand Nubian, who was known for conscious slash, you know, party type hip hop, I'd say.
Yeah.
And we came in the game and we did some legendary things as far as the album we put out had five mics in the source at that time.
That was like that was
the
a big
holy
deal.
Grail of
that's like being on the front page of Rap Caviar.
Yeah, and yeah. It really meant something at that time. That was before the source got co-opted into all the other nonsense. But at that time, it really meant something. Yeah, we represented the Gods, the 5% Nation, and yeah, we just was controlling things at a time when you came out with an album, if your shit was really legendary like that, then every truck, every car driving by is playing your shit, some song off of your joint.
Yeah.
And we was fortunate enough to be in that time, that golden era. We was also in a time of heavy bootlegging though too. So
really?
Yes.
Oh wow. I didn't
so
know that.
As much as people love Brand Nubian and all that, we never went gold. Or platinum. Now we've been on gold and platinum stuff.
Really?
But yeah, we got to like 480 something and then they cut it off on it. That's right when SoundScan and all that was flourishing.
But you should be gold now though, right? Because the streams are adding up every.
But they'll re-release, you know, they'll stop your SKU number and then they'll
start over.
A new one.
Mm. Didn't know that.
Greatest hits and all. Yeah. They'll do a little. I feel like. If we would have went gold or platinum, we would have had true political power. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
For sure.
Like Brand Nubian, like we were like,
I'm gonna ask you. I'm
really
ask you.
Really fucking with
even,
us.
Yes.
Even being able to be as popular as you guys were with the name Brand Nubian, I think means a lot. So, like, is that something that you guys had to fight name wise?
No, we just.
I didn't even know Brand Nubian had a name.
We didn't even have a name at first when we was shopping. For a deal. We didn't even have a music, really. Like, Grand Poobah had a group prior to ours, Master of Ceremonies. So he had a name. People kind of knew him. So he was able to make calls and get meetings and stuff like that. So he got me and Sadat with him. Like, yo, I got a group. And it's like, all right, can we hear some music? And it's like, all right, we'll be back.
Wow.
We went.
Yeah,
made
the record.
Demo one song.
Okay.
Went back.
What was that song?
It was called "I Ain't Going Out Like That."
Okay.
Sampled some James Brown shit or whatever. Came back. Yo, this is hot. What's the name of the group? All right, we'll be back again. We had to leave.
Wow.
Go have a name session one day at the Jazzy J studio. And
do you remember some of the names that didn't make it?
Yeah, I think Nauru Mob might have been one.
Nauru Mob?
Yeah, Nauru Mob. Because Nirichelle at that time was Nauru, you know what I mean?
Mm.
From the alphabets. So anyway, but then Nubian was floating around in different configurations. Like I think I heard.
Hey, Nubian Princess, Nubian Queen. That's what I know the word Nubian.
Right. Well, I got up on Nubian from reading like Dr. York books at the time.
Mm.
He had the... Like the community in Bushwick, Brooklyn and all that type of stuff. And they used to sell stuff on the trains and, you know, it had a lot of conscious information. He was the first one that I seen like the word Nubian when he was calling black people Nubian. I was like, that's a good word to like trick our people into, you know, loving themselves because the word African had a negative connotation to it.
It was almost like African booty scratcher, like African. Yeah, everything was like
Nubian.
Yeah.
Sounds like some king.
And
royalty.
So, if I'm not wrong, Nubia, the kingdom of Nubia, is really where Egypt got all the swag.
Yes,
it's props for. Right?
Yes, yes. Nubia,
so really it was us.
Kush, we're supposed to be the ones that started, you know, the Egyptian Kemetic culture and all of that.
So
yes.
I'm gonna switch sides a little bit. So as you know, music is subjective. So I'm gonna ask you a question. I don't know if you've been asked, but I want to know: where would you personally rank Brand Nubian in the hip hop group conversation? You personally, because when I was a kid, I didn't know that y'all didn't go. Like Brand Nubian was huge.
Yeah, we was both Brand Nubian and Hayden.
So for me, it's like, so for me, I'm like, where would you rank Brand Nubian in the history of hip hop groups?
Like you talking a number?
It could be, are you saying they top 10? Are you saying they top 20 or top five, top three? Like your opinion of where Brand Nubian ranks.
Now, I'm glad, first of all, that you said groups.
Yes.
Because I feel like a lot of time the groups get overlooked.
Absolutely.
Like, who's your top five MCs and all of that? Like, hold up, hold up. Some of the greatest hip hop music that we've ever had came from groups.
Absolutely.
Like, not solo artists. All this solo stuff came later when, you know, greed and all this other stuff broke up groups and stuff like that. And people started saying, you know, you can make more money by yourself. And that's when it's like, okay, yeah, solo artist. Group wise, I mean, there's been a lot of great hip hop groups. I say top 20.
I would give top 20 for sure. I appreciate that, by the way. Yeah. I appreciate when people are honest. Like, top one is like, okay.
Yeah.
I get it, but I'm saying there's only, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, nigga, you ain't gonna get better if you're already number one. Like, there's room to grow if you're in the top, you know what I mean? But I always want to ask you that because, you know, was Jeff involved in Brand Nubian? Jeff Dixon?
Later on, he was.
So, you know, Shaka Brother Jeff, that's Grand Poobah is their cousin.
Right.
So he managed Poobah, I know, but I also know, and I'm only asking you that because the word slow, my best friend, she knew, passed away. Their favorite rapper was always Grand Poobah. Like, it was like he was the Biggie before Biggie. Like, people always say that. Like, and it was like, Jeff, man, he was the first nigga making niggas rock like that. You guys had fashion on lock. I'm looking at you now. And before we start shooting, I was like, is there some Fendi sweat? Okay, this nigga's not playing. Okay. That's important. Because, you know, fashion is a big part of hip hop. The minute you start dressed like an old nigga, they treat you like an old nigga.
Exactly.
Right. You know that. You got to dress. That's a little cold. You wearing them big pants that you wore in the 90s. So, you letting everybody know, I ain't growing, I don't want to grow.
So wait. Why are you talking about this old nigga shit? Like, let's have an honest
conversation. Let's have an honest conversation. That's why I want you here. Go ahead, Top.
You just told me that your career started before I could speak English when I was 9 years old.
Ooh. Right.
I'm not young. Anymore. Don't let the good genes and the organic living fool you. Do you feel like we finally got to a point where hip hop is able to make space for those of us who are older? Or are we still fighting the young niggas for the same space?
Well, I think we're about to get there. I think we're just about to enter that space, and hopefully I could be one of the ones to help usher that in, because I feel like I have a lot of talented people around me right now that need exposure, but a lot of them are in their 40s.
Right.
They're in their 40s and they're well worthy of being heard. Right. And it's like, who put this age limit on hip hop?
So 20 years ago,
jeez,
I'm sorry.
Going down memory lane, huh?
Caught yourself.
Somewhere around 2006, I had the same conversation with Heavy D, rest in peace, Rev Run, with Easy Moby, and somebody else. But I've been having this conversation since 2006, right? Hip hop is a youth culture movement. So was rock at a certain point, right? But for whatever reason, the Rolling Stones could tour at the same time as Panic at the Disco, at the same time as, I can't name you a rock person that's relevant to a 20-year-old, but that guy.
What's good, everybody? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniels Sy. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family, and we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorraineCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorraineCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks. Why can't we do that?
I'm going to say something. I got to jump in. I kind of disagree. I think that hip hop has finally matured to that place.
Okay.
Let me tell you why I say that. Because I have a 15-year-old son. When Kendrick drops, my son is listening to it the same way I'm listening to it. So for the first time, I don't know about you guys, but when I was a kid, my mom was listening to Luther Vandross and shit like that. And I was playing Rakim.
Hip-hop is the first music to unify not just different cultures, but age-wise as well.
Because even rock and roll is kind of sort of like a mentality. Like, rock on! Rock and roll forever is like... But rap, and we've made it a young nigga game, but I was going to say, I disagree. And the reason why I'm going to say that is because that's a lot of people in this room. Can anybody in here name a better rapper under 30 better than Jay-Z? Better than Kiss? An underage, under 30 rapper? Name one under 30 rapper that niggas is like, that nigga be spitting.
No. J.I.D. That niggas be spitting or not saying better than Jay-Z.
No.
That nigga be spitting.
But J.I.D., I think, just turned
from
30.
The first time
but
he's 30 I
now. I think he's 30.
Okay, but from the first time I seen Jay, he
been spitting.
10 years ago, I stopped what I was doing. I was at an indie show.
Wow.
It was the year before that. You and Rock City took me to the show that they used to do down here called...
Was it Almost Famous?
No, it wasn't Almost Famous. Yeah. Shout to Ravella. But it was like an indie fest or something like that. So we went one year where Rock City performed and Trinidad James was on stage.
I remember that.
And we didn't know who the fuck he was because it was him and 15 niggas on stage. The following year, they did the same thing. I went to go see Money Making Neek. And Earth Gang brought out Jid. And I'm scrolling my phone because I'm here to see, like, it's an indie rap show, right? Like, I'm here to see the person I'm here to see and I'm going home. I'm scrolling my phone. When Jid started rapping, I stopped.
And looked up.
And went and found who could tell me who that was. 6 months later, I went to another show and I watched other people do the same thing. Like, you know, Atlanta crowds are horrible, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody's talking. Everybody stopped when you start rapping. But, so Jid.
Now, real quick. I just want us, no disrespect. Who the hell is Jid?
J.I.D.
Who the hell is J.I.D.? And see, he probably could rap his ass off. And I just say this because I don't know who that is, but I know who Sexy Red is.
But I think it's okay for you not to know. I think it's okay for you not to know who J.I.D. is. Right?
No, but I should know who he is.
I
should know who he is.
Absolutely.
But I don't want to know who Sexy Red is.
But look.
I'm inundated with that.
But look. But you know who J.I.D. is now.
Well, by name, so now leave, I have to do some research.
I send you a song.
Yeah, you know, now I need a link.
He had a record go viral with the Miss Fat Booty sample. It was going viral. You'll put the song, you'll put the camera on the ceiling, and then you'll come down. Yeah. So basically, he's ill. But you back my point. Jid just finally matured to the place where he finally getting that credibility because he didn't change himself.
That's a round sound. That's him.
That's him.
Oh, okay. I know that joint. Oh, yeah.
But Ty, you proved my point. There's nobody under 30 that can rap better than the niggas in their 40s.
I don't think that's true.
Name one.
Well, here's the thing.
We don't know them. That doesn't mean that they're not there. And here's the reason. My thing is, I feel like we don't know them because we keep trying to keep everybody in hip-hop in the same space. And everybody in hip-hop ain't supposed to be in the same space.
Agreed.
Right? So, like, a Sexy Red could be... Like, if we're keeping to the rock comparisons, right? Sexy Red could be... was it B-52s that had Grooves in the Heart? Well, no, that was a different group. B-52s had Love Shack and Rock Lobster.
Yeah.
Right? Song is fucking called Rock Lobster. Like, they're not serious people. They're not considered in the same lane as a...
Ozzy Osbourne.
Or definitely not Ozzy Osbourne, right?
Guns
they're not
Roses.
In the same lane as
U2.
U2 or John Bon Jovi or whatever. Like, there's
different
levels.
Right.
We want everybody in rap to be in the same thing. It's not the same
but,
thing.
But here's the thing. We, that's why when you have a mic in your face, you can choose. You said something, Ty. You said rap is a young man's game. Rock was. No, rap is everybody game.
Absolutely.
And we have to say that all the time because here's what I love about what hip hop is right now. Because we had Eric Sermon on the show. And what I love is that the way hip hop was set up in the 90s and early 2000s, we threw niggas away.
Mm.
Oh, nigga, nigga. When Chingy was done, Chingy was done. Mm. It was like, we will talk to you another lifetime. Am I tripping?
No,
nigga,
for real.
Nigga, when a nigga was done. Goody Mob, when they was in trouble, like T-Mo tells a story about him working at a Quick Trip After Goody Mob had a platinum album, in our world, when you were done, you were done. It's not like that anymore.
It's not like that anymore.
That's what I'm saying. I think that we finally have fully developed as a culture. Our problem is what you said, though. We can't, like, everything ain't everybody.
I've been asking for adult.
I don't expect you to know what JIT is, but I don't expect you to completely know what JIT is, but I expect you to know a song. But I'll tell you one thing, JIT is making 300,000 to 400,000 a night right now. Mm-hmm. Doing festivals. He's killing it. So it's like, we know JIT. We know who he is, but Lord Jamar don't have to know who JIT is.
Right.
JIT needs to know who Lord Jamar is.
And I bet you he does. And I guarantee you he does.
I bet he does.
And what I wanted to say is, you say who could rap better than Jay-Z under 30. What I'm starting to realize is the kids under 30 know that. And so they're starting to look to the older rappers and be like, no, Jay-Z is that dude.
Yes.
And they're starting to listen to Tribe Called Quest and Brand Nubian. And my son was rocking Gangstar and shit like that.
And it's, and it's a rediscovery and an opportunity. Because even JIT, as we said, JIT, what broke him? An old song from 20 years ago, Mos Def, who was probably in the same scenario as him, where he had all the skills, he had all the opportunity, it just wasn't time. So I feel like hip hop is at a time now where I do want to see EPMD. I do want to see Brand Nubian. Mm-hmm. I do, you do. And by the way, Ty, we ain't even ashamed to say it. It ain't like we're like, man, fuck that. We got to go get this 18-year-old
kid.
Y'all
really want to know what I want?
Tell me.
As a middle-aged black woman.
Oh shit!
Because I am. I like saying that shit because people be like, nah, and I'm like, nah, really. As a middle-aged black woman, the only rapper that's speaking to me on wax these days is Beyonce, Giselle Knowles, Carter. Ain't no other black woman my age. Nicki Minaj is 4 years younger than me. She not talking to me most of the time.
Cause she don't know how to.
Eve is. I mean, she does. She's a black woman. Listen, I know what I talk to my friends about.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I'm a creator.
Right.
I manage creators. I've been in the room. And you know this. There gets to a point where if you take a 6 month year break, you're not as sharp as you once was.
That's fair.
And what I'm saying is that for Nicki, she's still in her same game. So she's not thinking like Hove. Hove understands, I'm not a young nigga no more.
Mm. Right.
See, I'm going to give Nicki a pass. Tell me if you agree. Women are harder on each other by age than men are.
Nope. Not anymore. Not our generation. Not our generation. And she is my generation.
So you don't think Nicki is still let's be clear. She's still
the reason why Nicki is still competing with, and I didn't think about this shit until Lotto called her out and was like, dude, you're my mother's age. Why are you fighting with me? Mm. Right?
Shit.
Right.
That shit just sound way far.
Exactly. That's when you have to stop and you got to look, right? But Nicki is the last. If you think about it, in the, like, post Latifah and Salt and Pepper and all of them, right? The next wave of women who had success in rap was always the first lady.
Mm.
Once I'm the first lady, who the fuck wants to be the second lady?
Mm.
So Nicki's the only lady from her generation, right?
So you set it up. Well, no. So originally it was set up to where any woman that got in the room felt like she had to hold that space. There could not be another woman in the room, right? I got the one spot. I'm the first lady. I can't let nobody else come in here. Nicki broke down the barrier for everybody else because she was the first lady that was viewed as a peer with her male equals, right?
Yes.
Like she was looked at as right there with Drake and Wayne, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the reason why she was able to break through. But mentality-wise, she still comes from that era of being the only one. And she does not know how to share the space.
But you put my point. Men, on the other hand, we see it differently because with men, we don't have an expiration date.
Exactly.
It's no disrespect to women, but it's just you could be 75. Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, both in their 80s, just had new babies.
Right.
But in music, and you can tell me if you disagree, like in music, I think that men are just getting to the point where they're saying we don't have that expiration date, where they're not feeling like they got to compete with the young boys, where Nas could come
hip-hop.
Out and be in hip hop.
But here's the thing. You know why? I figured out. Here's why. Because Nas didn't have to go to some young 35-year-old CEO of Def Jam and say, hey, I want to put out an album.
Exactly.
Mm.
Why should he? He's fucking Nas.
And he's done
proved it. Now he just goes independent. He says I'm Nas.
Mm-hmm.
He puts it out, or he is actually on his label.
It's actually better than
that's my point. But here's the thing: we have to allow hip hop to grow and break off.
Yes,
that is why. Like I was at the Grammys, right? I shouldn't tell a story, but I'm gonna share it. So I'm at the Grammys, Lord Jamar. I'm like, You know, it was one of the moments, bro. I had to catch myself. Okay, so watch this. So I'm at the Grammys, and then Flavor Flav comes. And when Flavor Flav comes, you know, I whispered like, oh shit, they go Flavor Flav. Like, it's good to see him doing good. And then when he got in front of our section, because it was on the floor, we was like right by the floor, the white people start saying, Flavor Flav, we love you. And I kind of said, and by the way, I'm the only nigga in my section. And I kind of looked at my girl and I was like, fuck, they celebrate our kings more than we do. And for me, that hit me. We gotta start. Listen, Ozzy Osbourne and them probably use crack too.
No, 1,000%.
Absolutely.
So when we say, by the way, I gotta bring. If you was once a crackhead, you can change your future and not be a crackhead no more.
Have you listened to Ozzy Osbourne talk? Like, that man has.
Yeah, he's fucked.
He definitely used crack.
I'm not a doctor. I don't know this to be a fact, but it seems like drug induced brain damage.
Bro, we know it. And he knows it, right. But it's okay because it's rock and roll. But when it's rap, we ashamed of it, and that's because we haven't matured enough yet. Like. I love the fact that my best friend is right there and he comes to the studio and he asks to take a picture. Like, I love that. Like, appreciate this nigga. Like, we forgot we was bumping him when we was kids. Right. It's like, it's almost like we don't want to remember that. And to me, that's hip hop's fault. And I really believe that Dre, Jay-Z, all those guys that hit 40, Jay tried to fuck us over a little bit. Jay did try a little bit when he said 30's the new 20.
Yeah, I was that listening, was his I way. Saw that
up there. Like, that's young nigga. No, the new 20.
Said that shit at 37, nigga, but go ahead.
Nigga, it ain't the new 20. 30 it's is 30. Not.
Right.
50 is 50, 40 is 40. And by the way, it's okay.
Right, it's okay.
So I want to ask you, how do you feel about today's artists? Oh, you got Fendi sneakers on too? You ain't playing. Like, keep the
legs. I thought you beat that from time.
He wants you niggas to know, nigga, I'm up on it.
I mean, yeah.
How do you feel about today's artists? Because my thing is, it felt like artists had to go... had to have 2 or 3 platinum albums to go platinum. I mean, to be rich, I'm sorry. Now, you got niggas that's gold, that's rich. That's rich, that's my side. Somebody that's gold, that's rich. Like, it feels like it's too much money going on right now. And to me, I feel like that's why artists aren't great. What would you say?
You know, I don't know if I ever thought about it, but I think I could agree with that. There's definitely, it seems like artists are getting a lot very soon in their career.
Yes.
Immediately.
Like, you can have one single.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you're getting shows for 25,000, yep, you know, 50,000 a pop. And it's like, do you know how long it took us to, like,
get there?
And it's not like we stayed at that, like,
yeah,
I could probably count how many times we got paid 20 something thousand and we in a group. Split, you understand
that. And man, we gotta be paid travel, what,
man.
So and this is after having albums.
Yes.
And you just one single. You ain't never performed nowhere before. You just
got two songs. You got two
You just
songs.
Straight from your bedroom recording. I used to record in the crib. But
somebody
and now,
in this room told me that there is an artist who had 2, maybe 3 songs to perform, and said person turned down $40,000 for a club show.
Shit.
It was 2 nights back to back, and that person said no. And I'm like, baby girl, like, oh well, shit. It was a woman. Fuck it.
This is a baby girl. Wow.
Nobody in your family until this year made $80,000 in a year.
Yep.
And now you want to shit on $40,000?
So my question is always, like, why are we pricing ourselves out of everything? Because, you know, I do marketing, right? And the company that I work for is an international company. And every time we submit budgets in the urban department, it's like, well, why does this cost so much? And we're like, ugh, rap shit. And that's really the only answer. There's no other answer. Like, it's rap shit. It's nobody wants to. What? God damn it, Ray. Nobody wants to learn how to do their job the right way. Yep. And so they're going to get as much money out of it as they can while the run.
And, then wonder, and then wonder why they only got a 3-year career and then it's over. And then what they don't talk about is, once you get 50 to 100, whatever it is a night, you have a $50,000 to $100,000 lifestyle.
Right.
And then you made that the first 3 years, but year 4, you don't have it now. Now you're like selling shit. You ain't paying taxes. You're fucked up. And By the way, this is what we need. This is why I want to talk. We hip-hop needs OGs. Mm. What happened to our OGs?
I mean, they tried to...
Y'all, you wanted them,
disconnect
by the way.
Us.
You're OG. Yes. That's what I'm asking
They
you.
Try to disconnect the young from the old. See, and that's something that they, it seems like, especially in hip-hop,
yep,
they didn't want the OGs to impart any kind of wisdom to the
why is
ones
that?
Coming.
5%. I need to know why is that?
Because knowledge is power. Like, you know what I mean?
And a dumb artist is a great artist.
But let me tell you, you tell me if you disagree with me. The thing that I always like to say as an immigrant is that they've sufficiently convinced black people in America that we're powerless. And so if they keep us from sitting in the room together and comparing notes and realizing that we're not fucking powerless.
Talk right. That shit. Mm. You just motherfucking changed the world.
You're not powerless. Mm. Like, y'all over here worried about Trump, but you don't know who votes to put, when Biden sent out that money for infrastructure, you don't know who decided where they were putting speed bumps at. Mm. You just woke up one day and it was speed bumps in the West End.
Yep.
Where and my now neighbor speed 2 years ago was
everywhere.
Trying to get, right. Yeah. 2 years ago, my neighbor was trying to get petitions to put speed bumps on our road. And it just happens that I live on a street where most of the residents are renters, and he was having a hard time because they were like, oh, they don't know in those houses, they can't make decisions, right? 2 years later, speed bumps everywhere. I don't know who made that decision. I can't vote in this country, so it's really not my business.
You can't?
You can't?
No.
Oh, sure.
I could if I wanted to, but I'm very, very passionate about holding on to my Haitian citizenship, and Haiti doesn't allow double citizenship.
See how you got pride of being Haitian? We need pride in being black
you should.
In America.
You should be proud of being American.
That. And to be honest with you,
that's because y'all don't want to claim being American.
No, I do.
Okay.
I claim you American.
Do. I'm you should. American. All of y'all should because y'all been here as long as they've been here.
Yeah, but
this land is my land. This
and
is your land.
And to be honest with you,
right? So when that's
you,
they say, right?
When Jack hit me about Lord Jamar, the first thing I thought was we can have a very highly enlightened conversation about us.
Mm.
Because to me, we need more of us.
What mentorship in hip hop has looked like to you, if anything?
Ooh,
like, has
great
there
question.
Been an opportunity for you to sit somebody down and be like, hey, I was once you. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause y'all broke the mold with Steve Stout, because I wrote a paper about this in college. Like that Sprite, that whole thing of Sprite actually intentionally doing commercials to speak to hip hop culture, y'all was a part of that. Mm-hmm. Right?
One of the first
Yeah. That first Sprite campaign in, you know what I'm saying, like 90, I don't want to say what year, but has there been a situation where you've had the opportunity to sit somebody down and be like, hey, I could probably teach you a couple of things? And then was that person receptive?
First of all, many times. I've been a hip-hop mentor probably for years on the low that you didn't even know. Like, I used to have people like DMX was my man way before he met any G, Rough Riders and all of that type of stuff. Mm. I had him with me, but I was kind of new into the game, too. But I still was trying to,
yeah,
like,
sure, help him for some.
But, you know, he was a wild boy. And you know what I mean? He was into the streets more than, you know what I mean? So it's like, all right, you know. I'm still trying to get in the door, too, so I can't. You know what I mean? Black Rob, I used to rock with before he, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But again, he was too much into the streets at that time, and he wasn't really ready. He was all right, but he wasn't the Black Rob that we grew to know. People got it. Timing is everything. So my first time that it probably really everything gelled is when I had Dead Prez. Dead Prez is now that's my that's my discovery. That's my, you know, first time I signed
I
a group to me. And we the first three to have them, the I Chain.
I never knew that.
Yeah, I think, was I the first one in the chair? Probably. I might have been the first one in the chair.
Listen, like, that's the clip that you need to send out to all rappers. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so they were the first ones that I feel like I poured my knowledge. You know, they didn't even know really 16 bar. They were just writing and song structure. They didn't understand that. And just this whole, just how to approach the industry and all of this type of stuff. They was probably my first ones that I mentored. And then, going on, you know, recently, I had a guy that I was mentoring, Stove God Cooks. You know, he ended up doing some scumbag shit. I ain't gonna lie to you, but you know, sometimes that happens. And now my latest mentorship would probably be my boy Five Mikes.
He was Hustle Gang, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of social. Well, he used to be, yeah. But he's doing his own stuff now. But yeah, that's kind of what I do. That's one of the things I do. I wear many hats.
Let me ask you this question. So, the first two people that you said you could have mentored was DMX and Black Rob, mm-hmm. or that you did. Do you think that if you would have mentored them, that they would still be alive, possibly?
Not necessarily. You see what I'm saying? Because everybody has to. The power is within you. You know what I mean? Yeah. All I could have did was try to be a positive example as much as I could be. You know what I mean? It's not like...
I was about to say, it's an unfair question, because then that's also like saying they didn't have nobody around them that cared or tried.
Yeah, they probably did.
And I mean, and at the end of the day, we as a culture, because you were just saying that about Ozzy Osbourne, we as a culture don't really look at addiction as the disease that it is, and it's a disease.
We crown you something, crackhead.
You're a crackhead. We don't treat it like, and then we want to get mad that like, oh, the opioid, like they're more worried about white addicts and they worry about black addicts. We weren't worried about the black addicts.
Yeah,
I mean, some of us were, but like in mass, we weren't necessarily. So I don't think that like Ray said, I don't think it's fair. I don't think we'll ever know like the. And then if you go back far enough to take that element out of it. And it sounds really fucked up to say, and I'm sorry to say it, but like, then what does the art sound like? How does it impact your art? Mm. Because there are rumors.
Go there. That's important.
There are rumors that, you know, part of what took ODB from us is that when he went back into the studio to do that last album, the people that were around him that were like, hey, don't put no liquor in there, there was somebody in his ear like, you kind of need that to be creative, don't you?
I was about to say, what we don't talk enough about is how artists feel super when they're high and their career is soaring, but they're killing their bodies and themselves. Mm-hmm. And we don't talk enough about that. Like, I'm like, because I can tell you, I know for a fact there's an artist that I worked with that when he was clean, he was mid. And then as soon as he got back high, that nigga is he's so up there, nobody can touch him. So it's kind of like, it's fucked up, but it's like
a superpower.
This is the first time I ever knew that. This is the first time I ever thought the devil existed. Because I'm in the room and people are in the room and somebody says he's not good because he's not on drugs anymore. And I'm like, no fucking way that was said in the room. Like, it's almost like there's a moral compass that has to be there that doesn't exist in the music, because the only thing that matters is did the people like it or did they not. So if the people don't like that, the only thing we could do is say, well, maybe it's because he ain't on drugs no more. He broke, he wound up clean, getting back on drugs, and he took over the world. And he became one of the biggest rappers of all time.
I'm sitting there racking my brain.
My point is that nigga, we don't talk about how niggas need to be super in order to do this shit. That's why I tell nigga, you better figure out the science of what you do, because you only know the magic of what you do. And that magic trick can get old real quick. You better learn the science of how to make a hit, bro. If you don't know
the science.
It's a science to make a hit records. That's what I'm telling you.
Also, like, everybody don't need to be on stage no more. Like, I feel like, I can't remember who told me that, but like, if everybody's on stage,
who's running the lights?
Not even who's in the audience. Who's running the lights?
If everybody's
who's at the door? You know what I'm saying? Like, who is, like, making sure that the sound is right? Like, if everybody's on the fucking stage, like, you got to leave room for somebody else.
I think that's only what they teach black people. Black people, I still think niggas feel like...
Well, you know what? I don't care what they teach anybody else. I'm black as fuck.
The reason I say that is
because I feel like a lot of times, we overestimate how disproportionately things impact us versus other people, right? So I'll give you an example again. I'll be at work, lamenting dealing with rappers sometimes. I love rappers so much.
I'm not gonna lie, I need you to tell me what lamenting means.
Lamenting means like what was being. Like being thinking about it, but like being hurt about it, like okay, being cool. sad about it. I'm sorry, I've been like all my SAT words been coming out because I've been.
You can tell who didn't graduate high school on time.
What'd you get on SAT?
I got a
man. Don't do that, Jack.
Jack. I'm sorry. I got a man. Let her talk, man. Fuck all that. Because 1600 was the high.
Nobody asked me.
For 5 years after I started speaking English, but
just bragging a little bit. Just
what?
Five years after I started speaking English, but whatever.
The public college.
Y'all was speaking this all your lives and never got a score that high. But whatever.
I'm sitting here like, damn, these rappers are giving us a hard time. I don't understand. And then we'll get on a call with the rest of our team, and it's like the Latin artists are doing the same thing. The rock artists are doing the same thing. The country, like, it really don't just be us. It's just it's very easy to, y'all finna get me deported today, right?
No, no.
Like, it's very easy to just look around you and think that something is only happening.
I was about to say, we need each other.
Yeah.
That's bottom line. We need each other. Hip-hop needs all participants.
Right. Mm.
We don't have an expiration date of hip-hop. That's my problem
but
with the
game. But we need gatekeepers. Bring back gatekeepers.
Guess what? If you have OGs in place, gatekeepers are there. Right. Because sometimes you just need somebody to say, like, it's like when I did the Salam interview. It's like, nigga, hold on. I gotta know who I'm talking to. Let me. I think that happened. He's like, well, that's not really what happened. But I'm saying is that's me giving respect to him. We need more respect for our OGs, period. Instead of telling them to go home. And also, last thing I'm gonna say on this subject is we don't talk about how there was no money available back then.
Mm. Mm.
So I remember being a kid, I'm gonna show my immaturity. I was like 15, 16, and Smooth B from Nice and Smooth lived in my cousin's building. By the way, it was the hood. So it was kind of like, man, Smooth B, Nice and Smooth, man. I'm like, he live in my fucking building. He ain't shit. And it's like, dog, he came up in the time where he couldn't be shit if he wanted to. Just be honest. What people don't know is that Jay-Z is older by 4 years than Special Ed.
Right.
Special Ed came out when he was 16.
Yeah.
Facts.
Jay-Z came out when he was 28.
Yeah.
How the fuck we expect a 16-year-old kid to last 20 years compared to a 28-year-old man who knows better, he knows himself, he knows what he wants. We don't talk enough about ageism in our culture. And to me, we have to, but we have to let the OGs in. Because if we don't, nigga, we're going to have a whole... Like, here's the problem with us. Lord Jamar can have some information for a young nigga right now. Let's say Lord Jamar can sit in the room with a sexy red. She's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yo, baby girl, I love what you're doing, but there's a better way to do it. The first thing she's going to say is, I got more money than you. That should not justify
much information I have. I was listening to The College Dropout, because every time I go on a road trip, for whatever reason, sure, I pay homage to Kanye's great early trilogy. And you know that song at the end where he's talking about signing to Rockefeller?
Of course.
And he's cheers, like, you know, he wanted Jay-Z to do the, like, he wanted the fun Jay-Z on that Can't Be Life beat, but he got the more introspective. Yeah. He's like, Jay-Z asked me
what
I thought about it. And I was like, well, that shit fire. What I'm going to say, I'm still on the train.
Yeah.
And when he said that shit, I was like, this is the problem with rap right now. Because y'all feel like you can't tell somebody that got more money than you something.
And we have to learn that. By the way, I learned that lesson from Shaka Zulu. I'm going to give him credit. Shaka said, when we get money, we think our money means we are better or we belong in certain places. And that's just not the truth. Because money doesn't lead with money. Like, money don't lead with money. Money leads with respect. If you got money, that's how you do it. So,
right.
But the problem is, and I'm glad you said that, we have to. I think hip-hop needs a board.
Mm.
I think it needs a board. And I think it needs a board to judge labels. I think it needs a board to judge artists. Because they hated D1 for what he said. By the way, D1 did this show. They hated from what he said, but he wasn't wrong.
He's not wrong.
How you saying jail reform, but then you also to my killing a nigga? God, the universe is confused. They don't know if to send you. They don't know if to call you a hero or send you. They don't know what you are.
Mm.
And people got mad at him, but we need that.
Right?
How can you do a show? How can you do an album if you call yourself a rapper and you don't challenge yourself? Everything should get better or different. Nobody wants the same nigga.
And that, I think that's why I was asking about whether there was pushback with your name, because I, you know, in my little exploration yesterday showing this young girl like early or late 90s rap, I noticed that there was a lot more presence. Like it seemed like a lot of early artists were influenced by the Nation of God's Earth, right? Like there was a lot of medallions and videos. There was a lot of, you know what I'm saying?
They raised me.
Everywhere, right? And so, and even some of the most common phrases in hip hop, the most universal phrases in hip hop, we don't realize that's what
we're getting. A cipher. Mm-hmm.
Really? Educate me. Hold on. Educate me.
Okay. So the gods would have what's called ciphers, okay, where we're in a circle, a 360-degree circle, and we're building. We're saying our lessons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that would be called the cipher. Well, once hip-hop started coming about, people would start getting in a similar circle that looked like what the gods used to do, and they'd start rhyming instead of saying their lessons. It would be a rhyme cipher instead of a knowledge type of cipher. And they started calling those ciphers, but that whole terminology of a cipher comes from the gods and earth. When you see people standing like this and they call that the B-boy stance, that's not a B-boy stance. That comes from the gods used to be at the jams back in the days. And a lot of times they was the security, you know, by the ropes with a DJ booth and all that. So they standing there in the truth or square, you know, with their arms right over left and then your feet is at a certain 45 degree angle. And people would look at that and just think that's the B-boy stance. Now, that's how the gods would stand. Like, you know what I mean? So when you hear things like word is bond in hip-hop.
Peace. Son, calling somebody son.
Son or God. Like everybody wants to be a something one, God one now. Yeah, like that all comes.
By the way, this is why we need more OG speaking.
Love, peace, and happiness. When you hear in that order, that comes out of our 12 jewels from the from the God's 12 jewels.
So I gotta ask you a question. This is probably gonna be the only controversial question I ask you, and it's not to me. I'm only asking you because you are a 5%er. So you, because when Jack sent me information, because I was like, Lord Jamal, Brandon, boom, boom, boom. He was like, nah, he'd be going in. And then he sent me like 5 clips. It all was Vlad.
Mm.
So my question is that a lot of people in the hip hop community consider Vlad police. By the way, I know why Vlad wins, but what made you feel comfortable talking to him with his reputation being like that?
Well, first of all, I don't fuck with Vlad no more.
Oh,
well,
shit, there it is. Mm.
That's number one.
I was like, shut the fuck up, Ray.
But back then, it's not like I fully knew his reputation like that.
I don't think any of us did.
Back then, I saw it seemed like his channel was kind of popular. He had interviews that seemed, you know what I mean, kind of cool and engaging. And I just kind of felt like my perspective is needed on a platform like that.
Right.
Like they need to hear from an authentic,
got you,
non-scared type of voice
free
like
black
me.
Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so originally how I got on there was back when you know, they were really trying to promote the skirts in hip hop, and they're just getting back to that now.
What skirts in hip hop mean?
Like they had men wearing skirts and shit. You know what I mean?
Really skirts.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Like real skirts. So Kanye had wore a skirt or something like that. And I some one of these blogs hit me up, like just a written blog, and like, cause I posted something on my IG about it, and I was like, yeah, it's people like Kanye that's helping to push this type of agenda. And oh, you want to do an interview about it? Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Sure. You know what I mean? So I did it or whatever, and that thing got a little bit of views.
Yeah.
But I guess Vlad saw that, so now he hits me and like, yo, you want to come on camera and do an interview about it? And I was like, yeah, why not? Like, you know what I mean? I kind of like your platform.
Yeah.
And I went up there and did that. And yeah, and it got mad numbers. And so when I did that, he now calls me back. And then, you know, I inadvertently said something about, you know, a guy that I don't want to told you I don't want to talk about.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah, like...
By the way,
so do you feel like that tarnished your legacy in a way?
Absolutely not.
Do you know that as fans, some of us feel like it did? At a time, we was mad at you. Talking to Vlad?
Mad at me for
it's
what?
Me. I mean, I'm just saying like...
For being on Vlad?
Not for being on Vlad. Not that it was his platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much of it was... Like, I'll be... fully transparent, this Please. Is early days of the internet, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you might see the clip and you don't go. And that's why Vlad does it the way that he does now. And we're not going to keep saying that man name and sending people to his platform. But the reason why he splits episodes into 15 clips is because he knows that most people are not going to, once you watch that one clip, you're not going to go back and watch the rest, right? Mm-hmm. And it just felt like, for you being one of our most brilliant minds, that you were either showing that you weren't or being manipulated into not appearing like that person.
But you was yourself on there. Okay, so let me get my, I'm gonna get my thoughts on
that. I don't fully even understand what you just said.
I understand what she said. Okay, so let me get my thing. A lot of people don't like, first of all, I gotta be honest.
We don't like Vlad because of him.
Because I don't get manipulated. No, so no, it definitely wasn't that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
No, but I was saying, Vlad does have one of the best platforms in hip hop by far. Let's be clear. Listen. Can I be honest with you guys? If we can't have an honest conversation, you get more from Vlad interviews than you get most, right? And I think it's because. Story you gave to him, whatever he gave you is not worth it, but he is good at getting information. We got to give him that. But he's a white guy in hip hop, so he doesn't play by the rules that niggas play by. That's why, oh boy, who we ain't gonna mention, I famously said he can never be in my top 10 because he don't have to play by the same rules every nigga has to play by. If Brian Newby had to make a club record, nigga, name a rapper that didn't have to make a club record. He don't. Name a rapper that didn't have to make a song dedicated to women. He doesn't. Everything rap is that you have to be considered a GOAT, he doesn't have to do because he's not our color. Him and Vlad are the same person. Hear me out. What I mean by that is that they're both great in the space, but they can be greater than most and considered greater than most and do more numbers than most because they can do things that we can't do. They are like news reporters. Notice, you a journalist. You can talk to Lord Jamal way different than I am. I'm a nigga in the music business. I'm not going to say I'm disappointed. I understand the motherfucking move. Journalistic integrity, you say that. So I get it, but.
And I still want to get back to that.
Get back.
I want to understand what you talking about. Because.
Let's get back to it.
I feel like I was there a lot of times to check his ass.
Right.
I was there to give a perspective of somebody who has seen this hip-hop thing from its infancy, basically. Not that I was there, but I seen it start and golden era up until now, and like just a real nigga's perspective. You know what I mean?
It's needed, by the way.
Hey, that's what I'm saying. So even when I started hearing certain shit about Vlad and I'm seeing little funny shit he do, I'm like, yeah, this nigga do be little funny shit, but I'm not going to allow that in my fucking interviews. And there's plenty of interviews where you see me screaming on this motherfucker. Like, mm-hmm. What the fuck are you talking? Matter of fact, that's one of my favorite famous clips. There's a clip of me. Fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I remember that. Going crazy.
So I'm just trying to say, why do you feel
tied to the front?
I ain't scared.
I love this. I love this conversation.
Okay, so.
And I don't want you to be scared. I'm just curious for what you're saying.
One, I'll be the first to tell you that I am very much a dreamer, and I often have to have conversations with myself about things being what they are versus what I would like them to be, right? Two, if Ray could say that, you know, he has, like you said, he has a bigger platform than a lot of other platforms, because I'm not saying that man name for free anymore.
Show me the money.
Anyway, we've emboldened him and we've given him that power and we've made his platform what it is. And at the time, there were other people that you could have been having that conversation with that would have handled it. I mean, all hip hop.
They wasn't calling me though.
But you could call them, no?
Why?
Why would he call them?
I don't call nobody to be on their show. I don't want to fucking be on your platform. This nigga was calling me every other week or some shit like that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Because
he knew that my shit was getting views.
From the outside looking in, once you see somebody standing with somebody often enough, you stop thinking that it's a business relationship. You start thinking that it's an actual relationship. From the outside looking in.
Right? And from the outside looking
in, it's like, that's your homeboy.
We was kind of cool for a second.
And every time that you feel hypercritical of the rest of us, you go to him with your criticism of these other young black kids and what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like from the outside looking in.
Right, okay.
I can take that in.
And from the outside looking in, I could see somebody maybe construing it that
and
way.
And at the time, and
but
again,
I never take my criticism to anybody. First of all, any question that I was ever asked on this man's show, I didn't know what I was going to be asked in advance.
Right.
This was all off the head, just the same way we talking now.
And I'll give him this. As a journalist, you know how to ask the question that gets you the answer that you wanted.
Right, but see, I'm not the type, I'm not going to always give you. What I'm saying is, he can do that shit on other people. What made my shit, I would turn his shit on the head. So he would ask me some shit, and I would answer it in a way that he didn't expect.
Right.
And motherfuckers like, oh, he really fucking said that? And you know what I mean? 2 million views later. And why I would go on there a lot of time is, I could say the same thing on another platform, on my own platform, and, you know,
it don't go that far.
5,000 views or something like that. I go on there 700,000 views in a day. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But it's something we got to talk about. You're talking directly to an audience of people like you.
Yes.
That's the difference. Vlad is talking to a larger audience about shit that they care about. Vlad is more like TMZ.
Hey man, okay, I'm not gonna keep promoting that man's show on your show, dog. As your sister,
we're gonna bleep that out.
But listen, I study winners for a living. I only won in life because I studied winners. I don't have to like you to learn from you. And all I'm saying is that he is speaking to a larger audience of people who, you know, he's speaking to. Ty, let me tell you who we are. Everybody in this room, including my Spanish Latina sister, we are all on the motherfucking floor, playing, fighting. Going at it. We in the park, we in the streets, block party, whatever it is, we lit. The people he's talking to are in the houses watching us. That I love black culture, I just wanna know more. That's why I said the same thing that made him is the same thing that built him. He's talking to people like him. There are 5,000, that's great by the way, our 5,000 people watching. 5,000 is a big motherfucking number, right?
Right.
But we're black. And it's like white people crossing over, black people crossing over. So to me, he just crossed over to us, brought our information to them, and asked us questions that me and you would probably get shot for asking. And the only reason he can do it is because he's not our color.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like, if he was black, it would be he would have been dead by now.
And another thing I just want to say of why I would go on there is because I knew I was introducing myself to a new audience. Mm-hmm. Now I got kids 18... I had a 17-year-old kid. He don't know nothing about Brand Nubian. He don't know I was on Oz. None of that. Yo, I love your interviews. I love what you be saying. Like, a whole new generation of kids know me. Like, and young black men. Like, and they looking at me like, yeah, like, and to be yeah.
And to be honest with you, that's how hip-hop took over. That's how hip-hop took over. We were cool. The white people were like, this is some gibberish. It's not going to be around for a long time. But their kids were singing, Straight Outta Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. And that's when they was like, we might need to get in business with these niggas at least. But it was always entertainment. Hip hop is a way of life to us. For them, it's entertainment. We know it's penalties to us. You understand what I'm trying to say? I mean, and I'm only saying that if you don't play by those games, you're not in the same category as me. You can be bigger, nigga, because you can sell parts of you that I can't sell. And that's just the truth. Like, I can easily say, so man, let me ask you a question about boom, boom, boom. Get them pissed off. Didn't they just tell you not to ask me about that? Now he going crazy. Now I'm like, man, fuck him. Oh, he going to get them views.
Right.
I could easily do that, Todd, but right. I know that it don't end there. This right. ain't WWF. Right. He doesn't go home and be the real version of himself right. and then be like, oh, Ray got me today. He's like, nigga, I'm waiting outside for you today. Am I? You know what I'm saying? So for me, by the way, I only do this to make, this show is only to make black people feel good. Mm. Only to make minorities feel good. Because sometimes you be measuring yourself, the motherfuckers up there, but there's a reason why he's up there. Right. And it don't got nothing to do, you ain't got no control over it. It has everything to do with color of skin, mm-hmm. background, everything. But let's get to another question. I just had to say that to you because as a 5%er, I'm like, damn, like I wanted to know, like, damn, what would you do him? Mind you, I understand why you do him over my shit. His shit is way bigger. Of course, it's smarter. But it's like hip-hop, guys. He shows up, and I take your bitches.
But not even just that.
I show up, and I take your people.
But here's
that's what hip-hop did. Right. We were supposed to be a fly-by-night thing in the 70s. Rapping, and now, nigga, here we are 50 years later. Mm-hmm. And now niggas is like, and by the way, their kids can't get enough of us. Everybody can. But the problem is it became so easy to do it that everybody did it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then it used to be the point.
Exactly.
Biggie has a famous line. Where I'm from, you either sell crack rock or you got a wicked jump shot. You can now add rap
yes.
on that shit.
Yes, mm-hmm. And unfortunately...
Well, that's when hip-hop was about talent. Now it's a personality contest.
Well, I mean...
It's like WWE.
It's a talent contest. Now it's a personality contest.
But it's a business also, yes. right? And as a business, I think that in general, we don't handle our business enough, right? And so... To take, and again, I'm not going to say his name, but he's treating you like you're valuable. He's treating you like he understands that as a platform, if I'm not talking to anybody, my platform is dead. As a platform, if I'm a music platform and I'm not posting music, my platform is dead. So then why would I treat you like I'm doing you a favor when it's really a symbiotic relationship, right? It's an opportunity for Lord Jamar to say what he needs to say. It's an opportunity for me to grow my platform.
Right.
But we don't treat each other like that. Like, I'll get somebody else. I'll, you know, whatever. Like, even when it comes to the talent, I think it's the supreme lack of professionalism among ourselves. It's why it's so easy for other people to walk in and be like, oh my God, this is amazing.
That's true. Over here. That's true. You don't know your value. Mm-hmm. That is true. I said that. I'm like, kids in the hood don't know that they have value because you can't see past. I'm waiting for my welfare check to come to get some fucking food. So how can I think that I'm worth $1 million? I could have $1 million if I'm too busy trying to figure out how to eat. The only way to do that properly is to educate,
right.
to build and educate. That's why I'm not mad at it. I just wanted to understand it. But to me, like, even with this conversation, like, my only goal is to show black people that you can be the shit. You can wear Fendi and fly shit well into your 40s and later in life, however old you are, you could do whatever you want. You could be 55. Those things. 55. You could still
I feel like
be,
you need to say that.
I'm saying, but you could still be fresh at 55, still got the chain on at 55. I think hip hop was the black man's way of saying, I'm not going to
still
play
get
the white
down
man's
and
game.
Give you 20 right now at 55.
Yeah. I think hip hop is the black man's way of saying, we ain't going to play the white man's game. But we didn't.
But, me out,
but we didn't think about anymore. How they was gonna own the business. We didn't think about. We were so busy saying we got the clout and the girls. We didn't realize that the masters would be worth something. Fucking 20, 30 years from now. Because if we did, we would have treated. Am I lying? Am I right or wrong?
Absolutely.
Wait. So I think we don't give each other enough grace. So we have to give the lessons with grace.
Yes.
I have to be able to say, yo, don't do that. But you can't. Got to give him grace because he did it. Because he came up in the era where we didn't know that was right or wrong.
Right.
Now we know you can't do that no more.
But sometimes, right, there's a bigger picture also that's bigger than just money.
Yes.
And la, 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 la. Like, why do we know Malcolm X over some of the other preachers in the Nation of Islam at that time? Why do you think we know him?
Great question.
That is a good question. Because
because he was recorded. He did interviews.
Right.
So that's totally different.
They had albums on Malcolm X. He did recorded visual interviews on mainstream white people type TV shows, CBS and all of that type. And he did multiple of them. You think Martin Luther King There was plenty of preachers like him doing what he was doing. Mm-hmm. But he was smart enough to film it and get it on record broadcast to where years later, we know who they are. Mm-hmm. So if you think
somebody in the room
that that wasn't in part of my mind when I'm doing this,
right.
Because who is going to be the Malcolm X's and the in the Martins of our era? Like, who are they going to look at as the great minds of our era?
I agree.
Only people they see.
Only the people that's on the record.
But people who are doing it, that's why I say.
And you're going to go to YouTube or whatever tube they have in 50, 60 years, and you're going to, oh, this guy's interesting right here. Just like you look at speeches right now of, you know.
Yeah.
Black Panthers, you know.
By the way,
Chairman Fred, people like that.
By the way, pay attention to any black man in public that's famous that changed the world. They all spoke like preachers. Barack Obama will smoke like a preacher.
Yes.
Like in America, we're going to be like, you can't. It's something about a black man talking like a preacher makes white people feel a little safer, a little more uneasy, a little more like a.
Well, it's also the cadence.
The cadence matters.
Cadence is an easy way to lull you into accepting the information that you wouldn't take if somebody was yelling at you.
Boom.
But if I say it real nice.
But if I start talking in this type of way.
Yes.
And you start hearing what I'm saying from every hamlet, you gotta listen to what I'm saying. And when I bring it up, and then I bring it down.
And you feel like that thing when you brought it down is really important.
And I put a little smile on my face sometimes when I'm talking, you're gonna really listen.
And then you say, but y'all don't hear me.
But y'all don't hear me though.
But y'all don't hear me.
And then drop the mic and walk away. Everybody going crazy.
You know what that is? It's marketing.
That is.
It's marketing.
It's no listen. It's no different than a rap song.
Look at that. Look at
it's
that.
It's no different than a.
You can throw it.
It's no different than a rap song. It's no different than none of that shit. They just were better speakers. That's why they were so big. If I'm being honest with you, the reason
they were
why
more they, eloquent. Definitely.
I say, the reason why they both were.
But they were more palatable. Because like, do you know the story? You know the story about Rosa Parks, right?
What?
It's so funny. So I don't know who's doing the This Day in History for the History Channel right now.
Okay.
But it'd be a lot of real black shit that pop up as the fact of the day. So 2 days ago, it was, and I don't even remember the young lady's name, but months before Rosa Parks looked at them folks and said, hey, man, I'm tired. I'm not getting up.
There was another lady, but she was pregnant.
But she was 15.
Yep.
She was pregnant, and
she wouldn't good.
They didn't think it was going to be a good look for the movement. Mm. And so when Rosa did Parks. It, and Rosa was a little bit better known in the community.
She already was an activist.
She's already active. She's already respected. So we be in our own way. Black people are so quick to like accept those respectability politics and put those. And so with that being said, I owe you an apology because it was like, oh, this is Lord Jamar from Brand Nubian. You know, the cute one. You know, the one from Oz. Hey. Oh, my God. He's saying all of this weird, controversial shit. Now I got to rethink how I think about him. That's really what it was. Like 1,000%. Like, in our mind,
I love you so much.
We had you. You were the pretty boy out of the group. So we're not expecting certain shit.
Mm.
You're not supposed to be woke, nigga. You supposed to be out fucking bitches making babies. You woke.
I mean,
light skinned nigga got woke. Light skinned nigga woke up.
You're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to be a cadence, a preacher woke.
Yes.
You're not supposed to be woke in real life.
Yes. Mm.
You're supposed to be a palatable. You're supposed to be, you know, spoon feed it to me. Don't come right out and be like, that's the plate.
I want to ask you a question. So you have a podcast. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's called the You're Not a Meme podcast. The reason why I call that, because when I started going on the show, people in the comments would be like, you're not a meme, because I would say that a lot.
You're not a meme? And,
yeah. You're not a meme. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Okay, got you.
So, yeah. So I was just like, I guess that's kind of my catchphrase, huh? Mm. Like, so I was just like, I'll just name it the You're Not a Meme instead of podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Godcast me, where I could do whatever I want. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I started out doing that. And then I started looking, you know, at different configurations, like especially radio configurations. And you see, like, it'd be two guys and a girl. So I was like, you know, I want to get a girl with me to do this. Who would be a good girl that I feel like is kind of my equal? And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Rod Digger. Ooh. And it's like, I ain't even know Rod Digger like that. Like, I only met her, like, a couple of times. And you know what I mean? But I had just seen like an interview of her doing, and she was speaking. I was like, we seem like a good, you know what I mean? She's been in movies. I've done stuff. Like, she's a dope. I was like, yo. And I don't really like female rappers. I'm going to just let you know that now. Okay. Sorry. I feel like hip-hop's a man's game. That's a whole other conversation. But anyway...
Okay, we'll let you finish. I was gonna rap, but I gotta get into that one. We ain't going nowhere. Sorry, guys. Please. I need a couple more minutes.
Yeah. But I do like Rod Digger, though. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I hit her up and I was like, yo, you know, I want to interview you for my joint or whatever. You know what I mean? And so.
Oh, then you're a hero. I gotta get adjusted. Hold on.
She came to the crib and all of that. And then it was, you know, it got mad views. And so she's kind of saw like, yo, this could be something. I was like, yo, really what I had in my mind is, you know what I mean? Me and you doing something, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then she was like, do you know, like, yeah. You know, how y'all girls, are, will you pay for my makeup? Oh, yeah, I got you. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
We're about to get into it, Ty, hold on. This is fine. The first time reality, thank you. Let me tell you, I say thank you. This is the first time somebody said so. Way more controversial than me. I want to get into it, nigga. Look, I'm like, let me get in position. You said,
yeah,
you don't. You're not a fan of rap.
Nah, not really.
And you said you think it's a man. I understand saying you're not a fan of rap, but you said it's not a man sport. I would love.
I said it is a man sport.
I'm sorry.
I feel like it's geared more towards men. Okay. Like, let's be real. Like, R&B is geared more towards women, yeah. Right? Like, originally, you sing about
who's
love.
Who's your favorite R&B singer?
Probably a woman.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Who?
You said a woman. He won. What's
I want to know. Who? What's your favorite? It shouldn't be hard to say.
Not necessarily Mary.
Taco slap in the back of your head. You help.
I'm not going to hit anybody by anything.
I mean, maybe like an Aretha. You know, that's real R&B. All right. You know what I mean?
I don't believe you, by the way.
Listen,
I love Ty.
Even if I like, but I do like manly sounding singers. I don't like male singers that sound like females.
Okay,
but anyway, let me just hear me out real quick. I just feel like there's two sides to it, and here's how I'm gonna prove my point, right? So yes, in R&B, the themes are more about love. Well, these days it's about fucking. It's not really about love.
That's fair.
But at least they are saying to the girl, I want to fuck you. Like, you understand what I'm saying? It's talking to her. Like, you know what I mean? Back in the days, it was, oh, you're so beautiful. Da, 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 da. I was talking to the woman. Hip hop, the themes and the sensibility were men talking to other men.
I need love.
Okay. Huh?
Run away, girl.
That was later. An anomaly. First of all, was later. And I thought that was brilliant because now he gave me something I could fuck to.
Yes, sir.
That was hip hop. Okay, because I didn't really like all that slow shit. All I love was hip hop, and these girls was mad when I'm bringing them to the crib and we fucking a Slick Rick and shit like that. Mm. You know what I mean? So
I think I'm just saying.
There you go. You see how hard I'm trying not to interrupt you and to hold my thoughts to the end.
So, this is your show. You got the floor. Let him talk.
Anyway, I'm just saying. All right. So how many times have you been to a hip hop jam, right, or a hip hop block party, and they say, we're gonna play some shit for the ladies now.
Yep.
Right.
Why did they say that?
Because
they was playing all this hard, masculine, fucking punch you in the face type of energy music. And at some point they said, huh, we know that there's ladies here and we gotta play something for y'all. Because this hip hop shit is really started by men. Not that women weren't always a part of it. Sha Rock was down in the beginning, but she was an abnormality. Women were just like white people in hip hop is an abnormality. Yeah, they're in there, but this is a black people's genre, right? You can agree with that, but you won't agree that it's really a man's thing. It's although, like, not saying women can't do it. Just like I'm not saying white people can't rap. I'm just saying I don't ride around to white people albums, just like I don't ride around to no female album. I never rode around to Lil' Kim's album, no female rapper ever.
Mm. I have a question.
Even Rod Digger. And I love Rod Digger's my little sister.
Hold on, so you mean to tell me? Go ahead.
I've listened to a bunch of Rod Digger songs.
Go ahead.
But have I ever rode around to Rod Digger? No.
Okay, so
I love her.
So, boom. I'm a tomboy like a motherfucker. I love Rod Digga. Rod Digga is probably one of the first artists that I met. I was really, we camped out outside of a radio station in Miami to try to get her account on a street promo shit because I loved her so much. I still bump that Dirty Harriet album to this day, right? I, as a girl who has a lot of Jay-Z on my Get To It playlist, I, as a girl who don't want to listen to these niggas fake sing about fucking, I, who will probably, and Ray will tell you that, like, I'll come and hang out at the studio, whatever, whatever. What the fuck am I supposed to listen to?
I didn't say that.
Listen,
that's
just saying, like,
and so, that's what I'm saying. And they're for you.
That's exactly. Why it works.
They're for you.
But his, so the reason why it works, first of all,
I didn't say that.
I gotta ask a question. Right.
Hold on, let me say something real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
One of the biggest issues in all male to female relationships, whether it's a transactional one as a fan or one in like a romantic relationship, is that everybody's doing what they think the other person wants, right? Ooh. So when they come out and they be like, let's play something for the ladies, a bitch like me is like, oh my God, please don't.
That was good talk. That was good.
Yeah. Because we're not all universal. So you can't walk, what worked with your last girlfriend may not work with your next girlfriend.
Can I ask your question?
Right? Go ahead.
Here's my question.
Ask me.
You're a self-proclaimed middle-aged black woman.
I am a middle-aged black woman.
You on a date. Mm-hmm. My brother Terry. I'm going to use him because he's right there. Oh, Terry picks you up for a date. Terry picks you up for a date. Shout out to Terry. God Squad the building. Terry picks you up for a date. When you get in the car, he's playing Nicki. But he's jamming hard as fuck to it. Like, just to my monster dude to sing Lanka. And he go into the personalities. You still want to fuck? Look at your face. You still want him?
Let me tell you.
Do you still want him?
I don't fuck with Nicki.
You're not
so it's because it's Nicki.
Okay. He's not playing Nicki.
Okay, he's playing wet ass pussy.
I don't listen to that.
And he's singing all the words.
I'm not listening to that. But I'll tell you this. The only people I know on this planet, right? Personally, that know more than the words Pound Town to that song are men. I know
men. Gay men.
Straight men. I know a ton of men that know a whole lot more about that song.
It's hard to not remember My Pussy Pink, My Booty Hole Brown. That kind of sears into one's mind, don't you think?
I mean,
I don't know no other words.
Boop, 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 digging that pussy. Huh? It's the same shit. It's just, okay, so to the criticism that always comes to women about being hypersexual. If the men are talking about sex, who are y'all fucking that we can't talk about sex to?
First of all, equal is not identical. Listen, Todd, y'all can't do the same shit
Todd,
we do.
Todd, let me tell you something. Todd, listen to this.
Which is why we need y'all rappers, because we can't do what
Todd, listen to me, Todd. Okay. What everybody knows, shout out to Jermaine Dupri, everybody knows there's a Freaknik documentary coming. Mm-hmm. And the promo has been other people saying, we hope we don't see y'all mamas.
Right.
Nobody once said, yeah, daddy ain't on there. Because we expect daddies to be dumb, ignorant niggas.
All right, so let's go back.
Women are supposed to be, historically have been, men have started wars. We murdered each other. We fucked the world up. Women have always been the better version of us. If a nigga got a solid wife at home, and he's about to kill the world, and he got the button to kill the world, she's the one like, nigga, what about us? What about our kids? What about our family? What about my mom? You need a woman there to calm us down and slow us down and make us think. The problem, I don't have a problem with female rap. I have a problem with females acting like men.
Mm.
And to me,
women acting like men.
Okay, continue. Women. I say women. I don't mind. I didn't know female was a... Is that derogatory?
It's an adjective. It's not a noun.
Okay, see?
Ooh.
I went to Banneker High School.
A woman is a female human.
And I barely
human.
Graduated.
Professor Tad.
I love that.
A male human.
Okay, cool. So women are now acting like men. Fuck my baby daddy. But here's the thing. Who's going to make a woman act straight?
Who's going to make a woman do
Who
what?
Who corrects a woman?
Women.
No.
And men.
Listen. What Lord Jamal said that everybody's
listen.
Like,
do you know what? Do you
talk
know
about
what,
women.
Do you, they know what, get... do you know what most women's favorite thing that Meg Thee Stallion posted when she was still super duper in love with Parson Fontaine was? She said, hot girl summer, but I'm going home to my man afterwards. That's how all of us are. We want to be outside fake being thotty, knowing that we're going home.
But hit me out.
To a man.
Okay,
Hold on. That's the problem, Todd. But Todd, that's the problem.
They're not faking it. You might be faking it.
Yes,
they doing it for real.
Some of them are. But it still brings us back to the same thing, right? Like, so if as a woman you don't want me behaving as a man, right? That means that when I want to listen to some shit and I want to rock out to some shit,
let you.
I should be able to hear something that sounds like me, that speaks to me.
Agreed.
That's why I loved Rodica. You know what? I've always loved her because I had a deep voice. I was a tomboy. Mm. Like, she spoke to me in a way that there was nobody.
And
that
that's why female MCs should exist.
Right. But
I he don't, just doesn't like
I'm
it.
Not saying that.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying for
you
me, as a man.
By the way, as a,
man,
oh, as a heterosexual.
Rage just tried to make, you know, Rage just made you go viral for no reason.
No, I did not. He said it. I just was like, oh, shit. I know what he meant. I know what he meant. I know what he meant, Tom.
Please be clear. I have so many female rappers that I love and respect. Roxanne Shanté, Salt and Pepper. I mean, I used to love, I had Salt and Pepper on my wall back in the days, like when I was a kid. Like, I love those ladies. But at the same time, even back then, I wasn't playing a full album of theirs.
That's
like,
fair.
I was a DJ, so I'd have to play their records and stuff like that. You see what I'm saying?
No, that's fair. I'm not playing a full album of a lot of
yes, them. Female rappers should exist for other females to listen to and all of that type of stuff. And I can appreciate their songs from time to time. I'm just saying, like...
But if a man walks up and
I never had a female
playing,
be the soundtrack of my life.
That's like, certain the best albums, version of the song.
Certain albums be the soundtrack of your life.
No,
you understand what I'm saying? Like, I have to play this every day type of shit. To live.
Right, which is why it matters.
But hit me up, Todd. But one thing we don't acknowledge in today's society is we celebrate, like, they will put a man on the front of the Time magazine as Woman of the Year, but let a man have five women, he's a piece of shit. So we're celebrating a man that wants
in
to take.
In 2024, it's yes. Like polyamory.
No. Hear me out. Men are going to be cool with it, but women are going to be like, girl, why would you? Though, bottom line is that you said something. We want to be outside of Act Dottie and we'll go home. There was a point. Watch those old mafia movies. Fridays was girlfriend nights.
Gumas.
Saturday was wives nights. Girlfriends did certain things.
Right, men want to do that too.
Men want to get back to that.
They want to act thotty and then go home.
But like,
and y'all didn't have a problem with that.
Like,
it was amazing.
But here's the thing. One, you and I both know that there's a gazillion women out there that still don't have a problem with it. They don't give a fuck. Two, we know that like, we have to stop. And this is the part that I'm saying about us being our own worst enemy, right? Like, Sexy Red is as outrageous as Young Nudie, right?
Who?
Young Nudie.
I don't know who that is.
Young Nudie is the...
He signed up 21 Savage.
Dicking your pussy guy. The whoop, 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 dicking your pussy. That song?
Okay. I might know that.
Those songs are neck and neck, right? I don't want to... I personally don't want to listen to either of them, right?
Me neither.
Those songs are a little worse, but pretty much the same for the times as My Neck, My Back or Put It in Your Mouth.
Mm. Right.
Ooh,
right.
Okay.
So let's stop acting like these kids are doing something different.
Okay.
They have a bigger platform. They have more space. But the reality of it is that if we like, do you know DJ Kerosene?
No.
So DJ Kerosene is a DJ here in Atlanta. You might y'all run in similar circles. You might know him.
Sounds familiar.
But Kerosene once said to me, and has always stayed with me, if we gave the shit that we fuck with the same amount of energy that we give the shit that we don't fuck with, promoting better shit, right? So it's very easy. I don't have a single, and I don't dislike her, and as a matter of fact, like, the more people criticize her, the more I fuck with her. I don't have a single Sexy Red song in a playlist of mine. I have, like, five or six Tierra Whack songs, though. I still listen to Dirty Harriet. Mm. I low-key got my nickname from Foxy Brown. I wish Eve would step out of her beautiful life as a kept wife. Which is goals like a motherfucker. But like, sis, come out here and write this album and let me know how to get to where you at. And then go back.
That's fine.
That's why I love when I tell you that Beyonce to me is the only female rapper that's speaking to me. Is Beyonce got songs about dropping her kids off at daycare.
I didn't know she was a rapper.
No, like you put me onto that. But if you go and you listen to the album that she did, the album that she did with Jay, if you listen to
and I didn't hear that. That's the whole thing.
Ape Shit. Yep. If you listen to Ape Shit, if you listen to 713, if you listen to even Formation to a certain extent or Black Parade, it's more of a sing-songy rap delivery than it is her singing. right? So I jokingly, but I get in my bag listening to Black Parade. Like, I really be in the house, like, the same motions that I did for Fox, the same motions that I, yeah, like, I think I'm a rapper in my head.
By the way, the first, by the way, the first
time. I was waiting for somebody to write me some raps.
By the way, the first time Beyonce rapped, I think we did that song. I've Been On.
Which one?
I've Been On.
Yes.
I've Been On. We did I've Been On. But that's the first time that she kind of, and she was rapping in the Chop the Screw verse. But I will say this. Sexy Red is better than all female rap because Sexy Red is hard like a man. She's saying what she's speaking like a man. She's on beats like a man, and she doesn't have a female voice. So it's not like she's like she almost sounds like a nigga looking for the hoe. Like that's what shit a nigga would sing, and she sings it. Like so, I think that that's why she why she's there. But
I'll say this too, though. Like, so when you said earlier, who do we think that the Malcolms of this generation are going to be? Right. I would respectfully posit that that person should not be a rapper. It could be, but it should be somebody that's politically active. It should be somebody that's in their community. That's,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
that?
It really shouldn't be a rapper. I don't know who
it's
that person
is. It's probably not going to be, and that's what's a shame.
No, but all it takes is for us to get behind that person, like how Atlanta has gotten behind Andre Dukes.
Yeah, but here's the
right?
thing, though. But here's the thing, though. But we got to, here's a problem. Music is a subconscious thing, and you ask for people to serve, show conscious. We don't know why we like a song. It comes on and we like it.
But the song is entertainment is my point.
No,
is
I get it.
The song is entertainment.
But let me ask
my
you.
Point is, okay. My point is, I will never forget because we laugh hard as shit at that. 17 years old, I'm playing the Ten Crack Commandments. I can tell you now that at 17, I had only been speaking English. I had only been in the States for 7 years, right? When I go back and I listen to Ten Crack Commandments sound, there's a whole lot of shit that he said that when I heard that song in 97, I had
you didn't
no
understand.
What the fuck is this? Like, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But it sounds good. It's a good little bop. The beat yeah. is cool, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I played the song. And like to show you how much of a nerd I am, I'm like sitting in my dad's kitchen playing solitaire on the computer playing the song.
Back
in 97. And my dad walks in and my dad says, you know, the kind of music that you listen to can influence who you hang around. Da, 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 da. He gave me this whole lecture. And we laughing because I'm like, sir, like you've had me for 17 years and I don't think that Biggie is undoing anything that you've done as a parent in 2 minutes because I was raised by parents that could let me discern the same way that like I was 6 years old or 8 years old. My mom loved action movies and I was like, I want to die by a machine gun. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. I'm never going to see or touch a machine gun when I'm saying that because there is an understanding that some things are for entertainment and some things are real life. And I think at a certain point, we got to stop pointing at these rappers and wonder why our kids are listening to them more than they're listening to us.
Mm. Well, on that note, we have to wrap.
I'm sorry.
No, you did amazing.
Lord Jamar,
by the way, this is our first time Lord Jamar doing it.
Lord Jamar about to write me some raps.
You impressed. By the way, I've been bragging on you. Like, we need, like, she the shit, and you showed up. I appreciate that. But we have one segment we got to do with you. It's called Credit Check. I hate when people give people their flowers.
Mm.
I can't do nothing with fucking flowers.
Right, flowers die, right?
Give me my fucking credit. Let me leverage that. So we have this segment called Credit Check where we give you yourself a chance to shout out 2 to 3 unsung heroes in your career or your life that you want to just shout out, that deserve a little credit.
Unsung heroes. Well, probably the first one would be my grandmother. Okay, this is my grandmother.
Let's give
right
it up for grandmothers.
Okay.
This is your grandma. Give it up. We love grandmothers. That's a God show.
Dorothy L. Brody was her name, and yeah, like coming up as a DJ and trying to learn to DJ. There was a lot of loud music in my crib, and you know what I mean? And my crib was the, like, everybody would converge at my crib, you know what I mean? And I'd be in my bedroom DJing, and I got, like, maybe 10 people back there, and, you know, she ground, turn it down, and you know what I mean? Okay. But, like, she supported anything that I wanted to do in life. And when I thought I was going to be a football player or a basketball player, she would get me the best equipment and all of it. You know what I mean? Not that I had the greatest DJ equipment. I had to put together hodgepodge. But she got me started off. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, with a good turntable or something like that. And then I had to, like, scheme the rest of it. But I made it happen. So, yeah, I feel like Grandma was the one that put a certain thing in me that made me feel like I can do whatever I want to do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever I put my mind to. And she's, like, really supported me in that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, credit check. Grandma.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, now I was just trying to think of somebody. Go ahead. You speak.
I was about to say, now I was going to ask the last question, but if you, I thought you didn't have no more. But if you have somebody else you want to shout out.
Yeah.
It's all good. Grandma.
I have a question, which is, I think, is something that we should credit. How did you end up on Oz?
How did I end up on Oz?
No, but I mean, that's a valid thing.
Right. So I always wanted to, like, do some acting type of shit, right? Mm-hmm. And I naively felt like, oh, yeah, once I become a rapper, you know, they're going to see me and be like, yo, look at that guy. I should put him in a movie. Like, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm like the third album. Yep. And it never happened. Like, you know what I mean? Because this is in my mind.
Right.
You have to do things that are in your mind and bring them into this dimension. See, your mind is one dimension.
Yep.
And to get able to get bring it into the physical world, you have to speak it or write it down.
Mm.
That's a form of transforming thoughts into reality, right? So when I finally said out loud, yo, I want to do some acting shit. Like, and this is where my man Jeff comes in. Jeff Dixon comes in, okay? He was managing us at the time. And, you know, I'm seeing all these rappers who I feel like, yo, these niggas look like they can't even read in real life. How did the hell did they get in a fucking movie? I know I could do better than that dude. So I said, yo, Jeff, I called Jeff. Yo, Jeff, man. Yo, get me in a movie, man. Like, get something. And he's like thinking like, where the fuck's this coming from? You know what I mean? And he's probably like, I don't really know. But I, like, you know what I mean? So I say that, so then he hits me back maybe, you know, I don't know, a couple weeks later, and he's like, yo, HBO got a premiere for a new show that's coming out, you know what I mean? And y'all go to the premiere, you know what I mean? And I'm like, all right, that's a start. So it turns out the show that was just coming out was The Sopranos, okay?
Yeah.
So we go into the premiere. Nobody knows what this is going to be or whatever, but we go to that. And there's mad people from Oz there. You know what I mean? And, you know, you never know who knows you when you make music. You know what I mean? I'll still be surprised when, like, NBA dudes, you know, oh, shit, Lord Jamal, you know? And so all these dudes from Oz is like, and I'm loving, I used to love Oz, but all these dudes is like, oh, shit, brand new being, because it was me, X, and I think Alamo was there, Pooh Bah. Don't fuck with a lot of shit. So, yeah, they was loving us and that, you know what I mean? And we start just kicking it with these dudes. And afterwards, we go to the after party and, you know what I mean? We smoking weed up in the spy, you know, and that's when, you know, whatever. We was violating. But me and the dude, Dean Winters and shit, started kicking it. My man, Mayhem. On the Allstate commercials. So we got cool. We exchanged numbers and we would talk on the phone a couple times here and there, and he would invite me to little shit and I'd invite him to like some hip hop shit. And he invited us to the set one day and he was like, yo, y'all wanna get in the background of a scene? Y'all could put on some shit. And I'm like, Nigga, I ain't no background ass nigga.
Give me a line.
I'm thinking in my mind, I said, if I'm going to be on here, I'm going to be on this motherfucker for real.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? And I said, nah, I'm good. And by me saying that kind of fucked it up for X and Alamo that day because they was there. And I could tell that they wanted to do it. Like, and by me saying no, it was kind of like, this nigga J always fucking some shit up. So anyway, long story short, I might have known this dude for about a year. And one day he's just like, yo, would you ever want to be on a show? I was like, of course I fucking would. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, yo, let me talk to this dude, Tom Fontana, who's the creator slash writer of the show. And so I'm like, all right, cool. You know what I mean? I'm thinking, man, he's going to get me audition. He calls me 2 weeks later. Yo, Tom Fontana wants to meet you. I'm like, word? Okay. 2 weeks go by, go to meet Tom Fontana, go to his office. this nigga starts talking to me. I don't know what homeboy said, but he's talking to me like I'm on the show.
Right.
I didn't read nothing.
Oh, wow.
They're talking to me like I'm on the show slash we just got to figure out who your character is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's like, I got an idea for a Jamaican guy who's an undercover cop. I said, nah, I don't want to play a cop. Now, that character ended up being played by Lance Riddick.
Mm.
Rest in peace, Lance Riddick. Excellent actor. That's the first time I ever met him. But yeah, I was like, nah, I don't want to be a cop. So he's telling me all these characters, and I'm like, nah. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, and then I was like, yo, you know about the fiber sedation? And he's like, what's that? You know? And I said, well, you know, it's kind of prevalent in the jails. You know, it's kind of like the Muslims, but not, you know, it's a little more street. And, you know, and then they teach the black man as God. And he's listening. He's like, I like that. He's like, let me ask you something. So if the black man is God, does that mean the white man's the devil? And I'm sitting in there with two white men.
Yeah.
And it's that just hush of silence, like, right, for a second. And I'm like, yes. Yes, it does.
Do they like that? Do they like that?
It was just quiet for a minute, and he's just like, I love it.
Right. Because you know what it is? Like, I want to give you credit for showing up authentically you everywhere that you go, because that's what I got out of that story, right? Wow. You ain't want to be no background actor. You ain't want to be no undercover cop. You came in playing a role where you acted your ass off, and we know you weren't playing you, but it was a character that was written for you where you still got to show up your authentic self. So we got to give you your credit.
Thank you.
Dead ass.
And how I got in there, he was like, okay, so that's, I like the character, but now we need a way to get you in here. And I was like, oh, you know, bank robbery. I'll be a bank robber. Nah, that's federal crime. It got to be a state's thing.
Mm.
So I took something out of my real life but I just embellished a little. So I'm a sore loser, right? Mm. So one time I was in a dice game with a dude, lost the dice game. And homeboy start laughing at me after. Aha, you shouldn't have bet me, God. Uh-huh, you know? And he's trying to walk away with the money. And you know, and I ended up, boop, 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 give me my fucking money, God. Right. You know what I mean? But I just shot him. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's how I got in there. And he used all of that. Like, everything I said in the meeting, like, he used all of that in the script type of shit.
That's
like,
dope.
Even my description of the 5% Nation, and then he just took it from there.
How many seasons were you on there?
I was on 12 episodes.
Okay.
So before that, any other rapper was only on there for 2 episodes.
Right.
And I did 12. So credit that I'll give on that show, because I never had an acting coach or nothing like that, but my acting coach was Eamon Walker, who played Saeed.
Mm.
Who I didn't even know was from like London and all this type of shit until he started talking on. I already thought he was a phenomenal actor. And I'm like, wait a minute, you putting on a fucking accent? Like,
that's crazy.
I was like, wow. And so, yeah, me and him used to go sit in the projects during lunchtime outside the, you know, because they used to shoot in Chelsea Markets and shit. And it was, we used to just go eat lunch, and he was just telling me, yo, you a natural, and just blah, 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 giving me little game and little mentorship, you know. Right. What I mean? Everybody needs a mentor at some point, like, you know what I mean. So, credit to Eamon Walker on the.
That's a credit acting. Check we gave him.
Yes,
yep. That's your second credit check.
Exactly.
So, with that being said, Jack is going to ask the last question that we ask every episode.
All right.
So this is the God Show, which
yes,
is
an
acronym,
and I'm the God,
right? Which is which is an acronym for GOATs and underdog.
Mm.
So, do you consider yourself a GOAT or underdog?
Well, I've very much been an underdog most of my life. I think it's possible to be both, yes?
It's your choice. Is your how you want to answer?
I mean, you said you are the God.
Yeah, I am the God. Greatest of all time. See, I, you know...
For you though, it could be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a humble guy. And a lot of these dudes are not goats, they're Baphomets. But that's a whole
Baphomet. What's that?
It's another name for the devil.
It's that goat.
But the symbol is a goat.
Oh, okay.
Damn, we had to bring you back to break that one. God damn.
I'll go with underdog. I feel like that's been more of my I've been most of my life.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. We don't allow people to sit in that seat and do the God show unless they're goated.
Mm.
So you are a goat. Mm. So we are here to celebrate you, and we appreciate you your contributions to the culture from the beginning until now, and want to still see you contribute to what we're doing. Like, it became clear talking to you. Like, I learned a lot this interview talking to you, because it's like, we need OGs. So you are a goat. This is the God show. We celebrate you. Shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Yoko Vaca. Shout out to Two Loss Distribution. Shout out to Tote and Carry. And also shout out to KLH2O. Like, share, subscribe. This is the God show. Thank you to Ty for sitting in. Let's give Ty a round of applause.
Thanks for having me.
Hopefully she'll come back. And this is the God show. We are out. Let's go.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.